Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
Oh, just fantastic. Sorry I missed the program yesterday, but I'm here today, and...
Well, at least we had a chance to talk about you.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm sure they were all good. All good things?
Oh, they were. And I've got to say this.
Of course they are.
They were all good, I guarantee you. I promise you. We're asking folks, they'll tell you. The people, for $20 a piece, folks, don't say a word. I'll pay you. But anyway, I just want to tell you this, too, because I want the people to know this. Tomorrow is Marsha Jean's birthday. She's having a big one, 65, and it's kind of bugging her a little bit.
Aww.
Yeah. Of course, I'm not teasing about a doll. You know that, so.
Well, I thought she was my age, 39.
No, I couldn't do it quite that young. I'd be robbing the cradle then. So I, because I'm 48, you know. So.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh my gosh.
I understand.
And you're trying to sell gold and silver. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, let's take a peek at gold today. We had a nice day in gold today. Struggled in the beginning, but came back up $10, $1,533.40. The high was $1,537. Silver was down 2 pennies, $1,870. We had a high of $1,873, so it should be down 3, but we had a low of 1814, so it was all over the page also. Platinum was down $2 at $959. Palladium is up 18 at $1,676. You have crude oil was down $1.68 at $56.96. The USDX, it was down slightly, 0.30 at 98.34. So, you know, still fairly high, but over that 98 level. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow down 140 points at 26,810. NASDAQ was down 118 at 79.93, down 1.5%. The S&P was down 25 at 29.66. 10-year yield, that dropped like a rock, 1.64. European Asia markets were quiet, just no reaction to anything that's going on.
But, that's amazing. I mean, I got to say this, and we'll get into it in more detail, but talk about impeaching Trump, Johnson, wanting him to resign, but the markets just stay right on along. That's amazing.
Well, it truly is, and that's because they're all in on it together.
I guess. Yeah. It is amazing, though. Nothing seems to rattle them much at all.
No, and, you know, again, it came, you know, on the trade. You had oil down. It fell 2% today. Of course, there was discussions and comments at the U.N. speech by President Trump that, the China-American trade tensions, you know, they're far from being settled. And so, of course, that was, not a good sign for any type of oil demand growth. We had President Trump criticize what he called China's unfair trade practices in a speech at the UN, and he said he wasn't going to accept a bad deal. He said, I read a little bit about what he said at the UN, and, you know, I don't know, if you're trying to make a deal with somebody, I wouldn't criticize this person on a global, you know, when the world is watching. I don't know. Not that I have a problem with President Trump saying things about China, but if you're trying to get a deal done, I mean, you don't want to, you know, throw the guy under the bus and, you know, run him over with it when you're trying to get a deal done. So I'm not, but I'm sure, you know, Trump knows more than I do. And so I'm not sure how constructive his comments were at the UN that will help to get us a little bit closer to a deal with China. So, again, it's that back and forth thing. Not only has China declined to adopt promised reforms, it has embraced an economic model dependent on massive market barriers, heavy state subsidies, currency manipulation, product dumping, technology transfers, and the theft of intellectual property, and this was all part of President Trump's speech. All true. You know, all true.
It is true.
But we gave, you know, it's all true, but yet we welcomed China with open arms. So I don't understand how we can blame China has been taking advantage of us for all these years when we're the ones, the United States, the crooked politicians from all the years before, truly the ones that gave China everything that they needed, because it helped us too at that point in time. Because again, it exported our inflation. We were able to buy all these trinkets. You know, it did keep the system floating because they don't care about the consumer here in the United States. So it was, U.S. consumer confidence.
Who would have thought about this when Nixon went over the first time? You remember when he went over to China the first time, and everyone saw he was the first president to visit China, and who would have thought that all this would develop over the last, what's it been, 40 years, that this would all develop like that? It's amazing. It is amazing.
Well, you know, it's not any different than, he went to China. Nixon, he went to China, and President Trump went to North Korea.
That's true.
So, you know, we've already said that President Trump has, promised, great economic things, So, again, how is that all helping the United States to bring jobs and manufacturing back to this country? You know, is South Korea, is Vietnam, or the Philippines, are they all too full with business that we have to open up another market? You know, so it's... I don't know. But U.S. consumer confidence, just something to think about, ladies and gentlemen. U.S. consumer confidence ebbed in September as these as the trade tensions continue to escalate. Let's see if we can find these numbers here. Let's see here. I don't see the numbers here. The survey, downbeat survey from the Conference Board on Tuesday, mirrors other confidence surveys. The Conference Board said its consumer confidence index dropped to a reading of 125 this month from a downwardly revised 134. So it dropped pretty much, pretty big. The index was previously reported at 135 in August, and economists were only expecting it to decline to about 133, and here we are at 125. That's not a good sign going forward.
No, I wouldn't think.
And, things are having an impact. The share of consumers expecting more jobs in the months ahead decreased to 17.5% from almost 20% in August. So that's a That was 19.9, so almost a, 2% drop. See if there's anything else interesting in that report. Not really. But to me, the big deal with what's going on is what's happening at the Fed and these repo loans. That's the news, ladies and gentlemen. Today, banks flooded the Federal Reserve Bank of New York with more than twice as much demand for new two-week loans than the central bank was offering. And this is a sign that banks need more money, more cash, than the Fed's officials anticipated. In its latest effort to calm short-term lending markets, the Fed offered $30 billion of two-week cash loans and received $62 billion in demand from banks offering collateral in the form of treasury and mortgage securities. In a second offering, the Fed received $80 billion of demand for $75 billion of shorter-term overnight loans. So today's operations have marked the sixth and seventh times that the Fed has intervened in the short-term lending market, known as repurchase or repo market, after lending rates last week when they spiked to 10% early last Monday, Tuesday. So these actions come at an important time because regulators regularly check at the end of the fiscal quarter to make sure that they have enough cash and liquid assets to protect against potential losses. So trying to carry banks into the next quarter this is why the Fed today offered multi-day loans for the first time after previously offering just overnight loans. Demand from banks suggested officials may need to increase the amount of loans when conducting further operations later this week. You know, we heard that the Fed was going to inject, what, $30 billion into these markets until October 10th. That's a half a trillion dollars or more they're going to be putting into these markets. And we're not even close to October 10th. So that number could go up and it could be longer. We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I was thinking $75 billion a day they're going to invest into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, and can you tell me why you think the banks run low on money? Why is the cash flow slowing down for them or whatever?
Well, you know, they were blaming last week because of the tax, the end of the tax, a lot of money, you know, was needed and so forth. And to me, that was hogwash. There really hasn't been any discussions. And everybody's kind of just scratching their heads. But you got to remember that disruptions in this repo market was a very important piece of the crisis in 2008.
That's right.
And at one time, it was one reason rates rose was that the collateral some banks used in exchange for cash were securities that were at risk of default rather than the safer instruments such as treasuries. And we know that these treasuries, you know, they're going to default on them anyway. So I don't know why, but it's happening. And we could just go back to debt. We could go back to rates. We could go back to, you know, our fiat dollar. We can probably go back to numerous things. But these are short-term loans that the Wall Street banks do. I think I saw the number of, you know, $1 trillion that they do on a nightly basis. So they need more money.
Well, you know, I'm just kind of curious. And do you think that this could lead to another cutting in the interest rate?
That doesn't even really have anything to do with it because he cut the rate last week, and
I know he did.
And but the demand and the pricing on this pushed these prices higher. So, you know, it doesn't. I don't know. Just because a number is, you know, a rate will be at a number doesn't mean that that's what it's going to be.
But he certainly will cut it again.
You
mean, did he cut it to try to slow this down? Is that why he cut it in the first place? And it's still hemorrhaging? Or what did he cut it for in the first place?
Could have been.
Because I'm going to say it didn't do any good, obviously.
Didn't do any good.
So would he panic and do it again? I mean, Trump wants zero rates. You realize that. And that'll boom for a second. But then it's going to bust quick.
So if this is a manufactured situation, it could end very badly. It could end very badly. I don't know if this is a, you know, something in order for the Fed to put pressure to lower the rates again and again and again. I think they're playing with fire, because I don't think the strength of the banking system is there to sustain any type of, you know.
It's amazing. And to think that kind of money has been pumped into it every day and is still behind. And if the same thing happened back 10, 11 years ago, there's a lot of signs pointing to that from 2008. I don't know why more people aren't seeing that. A lot of business, I think, Carl, we'll share that in a minute, about insider sales happening right now. But I think a lot of corporations, businesses are seeing, but the people just don't seem to get it. They're not following the pattern. And if you're 30 years old, you certainly remember 2008 and what happened then. I would think you would. I mean, cities like Colorado Springs are actually cutting off streetlights at night because they didn't have money to pay for streetlights. This is, you know, that was bad. What could be this time?
I remember I was in State College at that time, Pennsylvania. And I can remember going into town when I was in Port Matilda. Gasoline was, you know, $4 or $5. Oil was $1.50. And it was like a ghost town. Well, this is a college town.
Yep.
And it was like a ghost town. It was creepy. And I think this time around will be totally different. it's not going to be quiet, because I think people are just at their
wit's end.
I mean, they're looking for any reason, any yeah. excuse and any reason to let loose, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, frustration, and I see it myself. Frustration and anger is building on, we'll say, just common people that have been, I feel like they're being misled, lied to, and with what's happening in the politics, political arena right now between Democrats and Trump. We'll actually discuss that more in a minute, with all the backbiting and the fighting and the racism and on. People are getting fed up. I mean, some of them are getting bad enough that they're starting to go back to the words they haven't heard since the 60s, you know, calling different races different names. They're getting mad. And you're right. A little spark could just blow the whole thing right up.
So we certainly, it's interesting. It's fascinating to see it. It's upsetting. It's, you know, it's, I don't know. For me, I'm almost like, I don't know what to believe anymore.
You know? No, you don't. The pattern some the same, but the pattern changes all the time too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That's amazing.
It does. And, you know, I'm just not one that can put, you know, if somebody says something, I can't believe them. I have to follow and see what really the truth is. Because knowing how dysfunctional this country is.
Yeah.
For me to be told how great things are, everything that's done out of Washington is just to cover up their mistakes and to get what they want. Very little of it is done for the citizens of this country. They'll use that, they'll say that it's for the citizens of this country, the workers. Oh, it just irritates me. The workers. You know, and it's, I don't know.
Well, you know, I was thinking through all this too. 4 or 5 months ago, gold was 12 something, 1,200, 1,250 or whatever an ounce. And this went up $300 in the last 3 or 4 months. That's almost a quarter, 25% higher than it was, a few months ago. And silver's went up from 14 to almost 19. So I think, you know, if there's anything that people, this is how I prove one thing, no matter how unstable things are, it's not affecting gold and silver much. They're still climbing. They're holding their own. And precious metals always will do that. I mean, they may fluctuate, of course, but there'll never be nothing as our finances are going to be in this country. There'll never be nothing. That's a safeguard.
800-375-4188. We're heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Butch, I can't believe we're almost at the end of September.
I know that. It is amazing. I mean, we have 3 months and the year is gone.
And you know, it's...
Go ahead.
We had the first day of fall yesterday, and it's...
Yes.
Summertime temperatures.
Up in the 90s again this weekend, so yes, mm-hmm. I agree. And we need rain so badly here.
Yes, we do too.
Really bad. I mean, all the grass is brown. I had to start putting hay in the, over for the cattle because all the grass and the pasture is drying up. So I put hay over so, you know, have something to eat. That just, yeah, it's really dry and hot. And of course, in about 2 months now, I might be saying, boy, I wish it was hot again.
Well, you as you're shoveling know. The driveway.
Exactly, right. It's 20 degrees outside. I guess you saw this article. Insider selling hits 20-year high, stock buyback soar. And that, we got a couple articles on this, I think, interesting. When it comes to the fair value of stocks, nobody knows it better than insiders who tend to aggressively offload shares anytime they see the price of the equity holdings as generously high. This, however, may not be the problem for the broader market because, according to research from Smart Insider, the market is now the most overbought since the first dot-com bubble, as executives across the U.S. are shedding stock in their own companies at the fastest pace in two decades amid concerns that the long bull market in equities is reaching its final stages. You know, that is a pretty good sign that we're going to have a turn down sooner or later on that. I mean, you know, these people are on the inside. They see it coming way before the investors do, I think, because investors are not, they don't have the insider privilege information. But any comments on that?
You know, I spoke to a lovely lady yesterday, and she told me that she just went to a monthly meeting, people who get together, talk about investments and so forth. And she brought up the topic of gold. And she says they all laughed. And I says, well, you might be able to go back in a couple of months and you'll be the one that's laughing. But that's what it is, Butch. All the insiders, they get it. They know it. But they pitch to the investors that this is what they have to have while they're selling their investments. It's the typical pump and dump.
Well, I don't understand how anyone could laugh at gold in its performance over the last 3-4 months. How can you laugh at something with 25% of value in the last 3-4 months? Which stock has done that? I mean, how can anyone laugh at something that's been around for thousands of years as being a real asset?
Yeah.
And something that's always had value. Even back in 1930s when they took it away from the people and sold out for $35, now it's still value back then. They made it legal we couldn't own it, so that I sold us something. I mean, the Constitution demands we only use gold and silver for money, but they took gold out of it, away from people, and said they can't own it. That totally is unconstitutional. But it's always worth something. And since they made it public again, look how much gold has went up in the last 30 years. Look at silver dollars in the last 25, 30 years, how much they've increased in value. Nothing else has done that. Nothing. I don't know how they laugh at it. I mean, to me, someone who laughs at something as solid as gold and silver, they just don't know what's happening. They just don't know.
Well, I think that, you know, what I was trying to also to relate, I agree with you 100%. But I was trying to relate to what you were talking about as far as these insiders. They know what's going on. And it just goes to show the information that these financial planners, the insiders, they tell the ones below them, you know, they need to buy on dips while they're selling theirs. It's a pump and dump type of it's a Ponzi scheme, ladies and gentlemen. And they're getting out.
Well, to prove that, Overstock founder, folks, listen to this now. This is important. Overstock found themselves all. Patrick Byrne versus the deep state, the gloves are off. In a bold and calculated move, Patrick Byrne, former CEO of Overstock.com, is going to war with the deep state. His mission is to save his assets and those of his peers before insiders within the deep state pull the plug on him. Byrne sold all of his stock and gifted some to the tune of around 90 million. And now listen, he moved those assets into gold and silver. And into two cryptocurrencies, which I think is silly, but he moved most of it in gold and silver. Against what he says, he sees a global crisis coming soon as the hands of the deep state. In this video, there's a video attached here, Dan Dix of the Press for the Truth takes a look at the motives and goals of Patrick Byrne with this massive sell-off as a hedge to a crash, which is similar to what we here at PFT have been saying one should do for years. If you're not yet holding gold and silver, then what are you waiting for? Good article on that. I mean, the man put a bunch of money in gold and silver, Melody. He sold his stock of his own company, gave some of it away, and bought gold and silver. And a little bit of Bitcoin, like I said, which I think is silliness, but nonetheless, the main assets are is gold and silver. Now, what would a man who's a, well, multi-millionaire be buying gold and silver? What does he see that, we'll say, people that are living month to month and day to day don't see? Obviously, he sees something coming, and he's preparing himself for it.
Well, he's an insider.
Yes, he is.
You know, he might claim the deep state, but he's still an insider. He's just the opposite of the deep state. You know, but they see it coming. They tell everybody, but you know what? The guy out on the street who has a retirement account, a pension plan, they're stuck. Most of them are stuck. A lot of them are stuck because of the penalties. And they have to pay the taxes. Do you know how many times someone said to me, Butch, well, you know I'm going to lose, 70-80% of my money, but you know what? I have to pay that penalty. What's the penalty? 10%. And then with taxes, you might be looking at 20, 25. Okay. So penalty's 10%. Okay. Taxes you're going to have to pay anyway. So you'd rather not pay the taxes of 20% or 15%. You don't want to do that, but you're willing to lose 60, 70, 80% of your money. I mean, it doesn't even, the argument doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
And it's a visual thing. If you have $500,000 and you take 30% of that, yeah, you see that big lump that you're losing. But you're willing to risk 50, 60, 70, 80% of it. I don't get it, but anyway.
Well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And back to the people selling off, Newman to step down as WeGo CEO considers mass layoffs. WeWork CEO. Now, WeWork is a corporation I don't know a lot about, but Newman, the head of it, said after a whirlwind few weeks during which he canceled a long-expected IPO after media reports suggested the equity markets investors believe that WeWork's valuation to be closer to $10 billion than the SoftBank-backed $47 billion announced earlier this year. WeWork's charismatic but unorthodox CEO, Adam Newman, is stepping down from the CEO role. This follows early reports that he was considering it. Also, the information reported earlier this afternoon that WeWork's bankers have discussed ways to cut costs with the company, which was centered around layoffs of as many as 5,000 employees, one-third of CEOs. So, Newman, I mean, people that were heading corporations are stepping out for some reason. I don't know what to expect, what's going on. They're going to lay off 5,000 people. It's not looking, I mean, these people are not idiots, and they didn't get there by being stupid. So there's something coming. I do believe, Melody, I don't know why or when, but something is coming.
I agree.
So I don't know why people don't consider this situation. Maybe I'm just an old hillbilly, I'm not real smart, but I'd rather have something of solid asset in my hands than would a piece of paper some bank somewhere. I just would. Knowing what the banks can do now, especially after they can even seize your checking accounts and pay off their own debts, and you can't do anything about it. That's the law, folks. So I don't know why anybody won't trust a bank with their retirements and life savings when they have every right, according to law, to seize your money and pay off their debts. Melody, to me, that's really playing poker, is it not? That's gambling with your money.
Absolutely.
I don't get it. I don't why everybody doesn't invest in gold and silver, period. Instead of putting money back in 401k, I don't care if it's $100 a month or $10,000 a month, put it in something solid. Thank God I did it years ago. Put it in something solid. So I'll shut up and let you say something. I don't mean to take over, but it's just, to me, I just don't comprehend how people think.
I understand, but you know what? I want to talk about President Trump.
Okay. Well, that's on my list, I promise.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I just saw a headline that the Justice Department ended the investigation of Tony Podesta. And remember, it was his firm, the Podesta Group, that was one of the firms, I guess, was associated with Manafort and Ukraine. It was connected to lobbying for Ukraine and Paul Manafort. So they've ended that investigation into the Democratic lobbyist Tony Podesta, which my question comes back to, all of that, is it a coincidence? I mean, is this a coincidence with what's going on in D.C. with President Trump and all of this Ukraine stuff? So, take it away.
I don't know. That is interesting, and we'll share some more in a minute, but it's going even, I think, even further than that. Buchanan had something to say about that, too. Said that it could cost Biden his campaign. So, I don't know. We'll discuss
but Biden's history anyway. So, you know, Biden was never going to... I mean, he's dropping like a rock anyway.
That's
in
true.
The polls. And I love Pat Buchanan, you know. But what more important, if it's going to lose Biden's campaign, what's it going to do to Trump?
We'll have to wait and see. That's the things you're discussing about, of course, impeachment again. But I want this article here. I think it will tie into some again to economics. Obviously, global Carmageddon continues. Mexico total exports crushed 7.7% in August. Now these numbers are impressive in the wrong direction. In short, it looks like all hell's breaking loose for the auto industry, which continues to show signs of profound global recession. First, we saw Chinese auto sales fall 14 times in 15 months under the weight of a trade war and far overextended consumer. U.S. auto sales have followed suit and are expected to continue to fall 2.2% in its back half of 2019. GM has found itself dealing with the first UAW strike in 12 years. The warning bells are also starting to be audible for Mexico. Mexico saw its total vehicle exports drop 12.7% in August, a sharp drop for one of the biggest exporters of vehicles in the world, according to new data from FreightWaves. Companies like Ford, Honda, Fiat Chrysler, Toyota, BMW, GM, Kia, Mazda, Nissan, Volkswagen, and Audi all have manufacturing plants in Mexico. So Mazda was one of the hardest hit names, reporting that its export volumes from its Mazda 3 model plant dropped 66% in August. Audi reports that the exports of the Q5 crossover fell 61%. Volkswagen exports from Mexico were down 38%. Fiat exports 32%. And Kia 23%. Man, those are huge downturns.
They certainly are. Another 2x4.
I don't know if people are watching this or not, but now I don't know what's going on in their area. I know dealers around here seem to have a good stock of cars, and I assume they're selling some of them. I don't know that. I don't get to talk to dealers. But on a global scale, it's not looking good. And what's the latest from GM and the strike? Have you heard anything more about that?
No, and you know, something that's important is, you know, you call it Carmageddon, and you know, we mentioned this the other day on the program where, you know, we talk about everybody has heard for years and years and years that, you know, the whole world's going to come to an end and all of this and so forth. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, every day, you know, you don't have to wait for that big event. Every day it affects you. Every day you lose your purchasing power.
Yes.
This is unwinding every day. You might, just like the amount of money that's being pumped into these credit markets, the repo market, is it affecting you today? No. But it's going to. Somewhere down the line, it will affect you. I guess that's taxpayer money, Butch?
I would guess so, and I would think it would cause inflation out the window with this much cash. I would think so. I don't know how they're, what it is. I don't know how they're maintaining it, but I would think inflation would be growing equally to that. I would think so.
And the idea that the government has control, the government will protect you, the government will, Wall Street. The government shouldn't bring back Wall Street. The government has no business being in Wall Street. The only reason they're in it is because your dollar buys absolutely nothing. They had to create a system to make people think that they're wealthy or that they're making money and that they're getting ahead. I mean, even during the Great Depression, the Dow was created for the wealthy people, not for people who work hard for their money and rely on it to pay for their retirement accounts. It wasn't created for that. It evolved into that because those that created the Dow, the wealthy, found a way to make more money on you guys. So, and the wealthy, some take advantage of gold, some take advantage of trying to protect themselves. But then again, the wealthy, I see where the wealthy is storing up cash. Really? How dumb are they? They're going to lose it. They're going to lose it all, just like during the Depression.
Well, if they didn't even touch it, just inflation alone makes it worth less every day.
They didn't have the hyperinflation during the Great Depression. Nobody had any money. And the money and gold and the dollar was backed by gold. So the inflation was limited. It was more deflation. In today's world, you're going to get both. And there will be no coming back. Oh, we'll find a happy medium somewhere along the line. We adjust, we adapt. You know, just like the poor people who get hit by these hurricanes and lose their homes and lose everything, they adapt. They'll come back to a different degree, probably not to where they were before. But it doesn't have to be that way. Butch?
Yes. I'm listening. It's break time. I hear music.
Was I preaching again?
Yes, you were. But that's all right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I bet the listeners are saying, hallelujah, there's a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. What's next, Butch?
Well, you won't talk Trump. We will talk Trump. We will just get right into Trump. And we'll just go ahead and say what's happening there behind the scenes. And although, as I was saying during the break, I enjoyed some of the things he said at the speech. I didn't hear the whole speech. But a couple of things he said really sounded patriotic and really American. And it made me feel kind of warm and fuzzy, but in my gut I knew that it was just hot air. And people don't want to, I know people get mad when I say that, get mad if you want to. He's had years to change stuff. He had 2 years with complete control of the Senate and House and gained nothing to speak of. I mean, nothing to speak of. So, anyway, Congress is starting to more and more to talk about impeaching Donald Trump if he does not hand over the whistleblower complaint by pressuring Ukraine to dig dirt that Nancy Pelosi prepares to break her silence following the new outcry from Democrats. So far, 170 Democrats in the House want to impeach. Joe Biden says that if Donald Trump does not cooperate with Congress, it's time to impeach him. He's making his move while growing numbers of Democratic House members publicly back impeachment, including House Conscience John Lewis. Trump admitted he ordered his staff to freeze about almost $400 million in military aid to the Ukraine. The directive came just the day before July phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. A whistleblower alleges that the conversation involved Trump pressuring Zelensky to probe his political rival Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden. Trump has denied this, claiming he spoke about corruption and keeping foreign corruption, including from U.S. citizens, out of the Ukraine. He also asserts that the aid freeze has nothing to do with potential procurement of damaging information to Biden. Hunter Biden has ties to Ukrainian natural gas firm. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is preparing to address her caucus Tuesday afternoon. Biden, I'm talking about Hunter Biden and his daddy, both had business deals in Ukraine worth a billion or better. And some backhanded things happened there too. Biden refused under Obama to give Ukraine aid unless he fired one of the people that worked in Biden's organization, I believe it was, that worked over in the Ukraine. So a lot of, it's amazing how Obama did this and more. Obama said one time, told Putin that if he couldn't do much now, if he was elected, he'd have more room to move, I guess, in Putin's favor. So I don't know why all this don't come out against him. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not a trumpeteer, like I said many times, but anything Trump says is analyzed and dissected and brought up as impeachment material. And Obama did far, far worse and was praised for all that he did. So there is, I do believe, Melody, a one-sided agenda here, at least to a point, trying to find error in everything Trump does, because maybe perhaps a man has done some things contrary to what the New World Order people would like for him to do. I don't know that, but you're hearing now the impeachment proceedings. They want to continue in it. I personally don't think it'll fly, and I don't know what's going to happen if they do release the complaint, the material about what they want from the telephone conversation. I don't think it'll be anything worth talking about, but they talked about Russia for what, 2.5 years?
Mm-hmm.
So how long could they talk about this, right on into election? I think it's political. What do you think?
Well, it is, but I also think perhaps with the Department of Justice ending the investigation of Tony Podesta without charges, I think that's part of it too. He was a Democratic lobbyist, so, you know, and Ukraine ties in there too. So, you know, maybe it was a way to try to appease some of these Democrats, maybe not going after the election. I'm just talking here. I think that, you know what, the important part that I am taking from all of this, I agree with everything that you said. You know, Judge Napolitano, everybody loves Judge Napolitano. Everybody supports what he says, but he also came out and said what Trump has admitted is a crime. Trump would have been better off just keeping his mouth shut instead of trying to justify sending Giuliani. I don't care what anybody says about Giuliani. There's something wrong with him. He isn't the Giuliani that we used to see on the news, you know, 10 years ago or during 9/11. He's not the same person, it doesn't seem to be. Sending him out a week ago to talk about this, that's when it all really exploded, because they're getting caught. You know, it used to be a long time. You don't get in trouble for lying and doing what you do. You get in trouble for the cover-up. And this is what this reminds me of. It, regardless of what they did and so forth, I think they're making it worse by trying to take this to the street and talking about it. But I agree with you. If they do the impeachment, it's going to do the same thing. You know, Congress will approve it. The Senate won't. You know, if it gets to the Supreme Court, I don't think it'll get to the Supreme Court. Who knows? But how long does that take? And you're right, it's going to take us up through the election. But what's that going to do? I think it's going to strengthen President Trump's base. So well, you know, this doesn't have to necessarily be a bad thing.
No, it doesn't. And again, maybe people will see through it as a political move, just like obviously the Russia fiasco was. But according to Buchanan's article, talking about Biden again, in May 2016, Joe Biden, as Barack Obama's designated point man to on Ukraine, flew to Kiev to inform President Pedro Poroshenko that $1 billion U.S. loan guarantee had been approved to enable Kiev to continue to service its mammoth debt, but said Biden the aid was conditional. There was a quid pro quo. If Poroshenko's regime did not fire its chief prosecutor in 6 hours, Biden would fly home and Ukraine would get no loan and no loan guarantee. Ukraine capitulated instantly, said Joe, reveling in his pro-counsel role. So, obviously, Biden put pressure on a billion-dollar loan to Kiev. So, what's the difference here?
There isn't any The difference is that was then and this is now.
That's the point, yes.
That's the point. And, you know, we can run clips all day long. He's not going to be the candidate anyway. But, so, you know, that's the way I see it. They can run clips all day long. And, well, I guess at that meeting at 4 o'clock with Speaker Nancy Pelosi, I guess they said in a closed-door meeting that she is ready to support a formal impeachment inquiry. So that isn't, you know, we knew she would, but anyway, so.
Well, I don't know, Melody. This is.
I mean, I agree with you, but it just goes to show how corrupt the whole system is.
It does. That's the whole point. And it's a pot calling the kettle black. There is no honesty in politics anymore.
No,
there is none. And perhaps on a local level, but I even doubt that anymore. But on a national level, forget it. Forget it. I would say that if you could find a handful of people up there that actually are there to better the people of this, better the people of this country's situations and actually benefit this nation, if you could find five that haven't sold out, that are really trying to do something, I would be greatly surprised. I truly would. Go ahead.
I haven't watched the news today, but, you know, I mean, TV news, mainstream media news. My question is, where are all these Republicans? Where are all these Republican politicians that are coming out and vocally supporting President Trump? Where are they?
Well, you know,
Why aren't they coming out here talking about Biden and his son? And what happened then?
I totally
agree.
Where
are they?
They want to hang on to the jobs. You know, a lot of the Republicans in the House are quitting after this term. They're not going to rerun. I mean, seriously, they're I don't know why they're not rerunning. They said they're just not going to do it. They're going to vacate the seat and they're supposed to do the running. Maybe they feel they can't win with Trump in there. I have no idea. But they are deadly silent on this issue. And Trump did show great restraint and not going in and immediately bombing Iran with this attack on Saudi Arabia. You know, about every Republican wanted him to go in and do it right away, including what's his name from South Carolina, Graham. You know, so we have to go in quickly and punish him. And I mean, so maybe they're mad at him. But they're, he's not playing the game with him all the way, Melody. I have no idea.
No, interesting but, stuff. It is. It is. And again, it's a great distraction from the Fed adding billions of dollars of cash into the banking system. That's the news, ladies and gentlemen. That's what people should be focused on, because that truly does affect. I think what happens, you know, in D.C. and so forth, the only thing we can do is get to the voting box and do what we need to do. And but what really affects each and every one of us also is, you know, our economy.
Well, have you heard anything on news about the money going into from the Fed? Have you heard anything about that? I haven't heard people in the news about it. Have you?
No. Nope.
And that's
very
big news.
Little.
I haven't heard
that's
people.
That's big news. Very little.
People. But, you know, we talk about Trump. You know, Boris Johnson is hitting some hard walls. You know, Johnson has been asked to step down. The Supreme Court ruled against him. You know, he said he broke the law by suspending Parliament for the weeks he asked for. And so it's not just here. I mean, they want rid of Johnson in Europe or in London, and the Democrats want rid of Trump here. I don't know what the deal is. I have no idea if this is Johnson wants to go back to an independent nation, get back to sovereignty for the nation, but the Parliament don't want him to do that, obviously. So I don't know. This is just a huge mess up all around the world. But I think I did figure out the two things Trump and Johnson have in common. It's their hair. So I don't know. But anyway, I had to say that. But
I know you did.
I had to say that. But it's not just here in this country where things are uneasy. There's a lot of things happening in other places that we don't hear about on the news too much. But I know, for example, talking to one of my guests here a while back, that there have been rolling blackouts all over Europe. You don't hear about that. Not just in California places, but it's all over Europe. Things are happening there too. People are getting a little perturbed, and now they're wanting to... the people are getting angry at the Muslims coming in, and there's riots in the streets over that. That's kept pretty quiet over here. And Hong Kong is still in an uproar, I suppose, and the rest have been made over there. So it's just not in America where we're seeing all this turmoil. It's everywhere.
It's true.
So anyway, any more comments on anything on that?
No.
I want to cover this at least with this one last article that I think is very important. Listen to this. U.S. Army smashes recruitment goals, now pay attention, people, by preying on hopeless millennials with student loan. This is really something. That is target millennials who are suffering from the student debt crisis, reported Vice News. The Army smashed its 2019 recruiting goal after falling short by 6,500 last year, said the head of the Army Recruiting Command, Major General Frank Mirth. He told reporters that last week that much of the success was a new marketing strategy geared towards millennials with student debt. One of the natural crises right now is student loans. So 31,000 is the average, Muth told reporters. You can get out of the Army after 4 years, 100% paid for state college anywhere in the United States. This year's recruitment push wasn't entirely based on patriotism, no duh, but targeted millennials who wanted to escape from their insurmountable student debts. Somebody once said that, I don't remember who said it, that we're no longer enslaved by chains, we're enslaved by debt. And these students are joining the Army to get the debt paid off. I mean, that is a type
of
slavery.
They should be recruited prior to the debt so they can work their way through school. And, you know,
Well, they would, but they won't volunteer.
That's how it used to be. You joined the service so you could go to school. Not
after. Way more. Not that way anymore. They don't want to join, I don't believe. They were kind of forced into it, you know, to pay off their student loans. And that's, I guess, okay, but sad that they have recruited in that direction. But, you know, a guy named Herbert Marcuse said this one time, free election of masters does not abolish the masters or the slaves. I mean, you think about that a minute. Just because we think we elect our lawmakers who keep totally every day more and more enslave us, does that make us any less enslaved just because they could choose their own masters? Well, same thing here with Army recruitment. I mean, they had to make a choice. Not be able to pay the debt, and who knows what's going to happen to them, or sign up for whatever length of time and get the debt paid off.
Guess they needed 10,000 more to send to Saudi Arabia.
I guess. I mean, that's another way to look at it. And one more quick article. 1 in 7 adults in New Orleans has a warrant out for their arrest.
Imagine that. We broadcast down in that area.
Do we really?
We do.
1 in 7 adults in New Orleans has a warrant out for arrest. I don't have time to go through all this, but there are more than 56,000 outstanding warrants in New Orleans Municipal Court dating to 2002, according to city data. A staggering 1 in 7 adults in the country's 50th largest city have a warrant out for their arrest. So I thought that's interesting.
It is interesting. If we have my listeners down there, you ought to call me and let me know if that's true, because that's a lot.
That is a lot.
What are you guys doing down there?
Well, it said a lot of them are being worn out for misdemeanors when they just need to drop them. Nonetheless, that is what it is.
And it is what it is. We're out of time. And we'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully Dave will be back. Hopefully he's feeling a little bit better. I'll be talking to him later today. Wendy Wilson will be here. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be good. Be safe, good night, and God bless.